Welcome to the XYZ Experiment Podcast. Today you have myself, Dash, your Gen Y, and Luke, your Gen Z. And we are going to talk about food icks or food aversions or foods we avoid and stories we might have about all of the above. To start off, Luke, do you have general foods that you do not eat?
I do. Growing up, I was quite a picky eater, and I think I've developed a little bit more of a palate since then, but there's definitely a few aversions, some of which have stories behind them, some of which I think it's just a general vibe.
So what would be an example of something you wouldn't eat?
Going back to childhood, as we so often do, to explain these things. One time where my grandma, Greek migrant, beautiful, beautiful, lush garden. And we were out there one day and my other grandma was there and she pulled a prank on me where basically she was like, would you like an apple? And I was like, I love an apple. I love apples. And I got an apple and I bit into it and she started laughing before I'd even fully bit into it. And she'd actually given me a unripe tomato as opposed to an apple. And for some reason, that really stuck with me. And to this day, I really don't like tomatoes.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I won't eat tomatoes in a salad. Generally speaking, I won't eat a tomato in a burger.
If it's in, like, a sauce form, because I feel like that's a big foundation of great cooking is, like, having a tomato-based sauce.
When it's, because I actually love tomato sauce, which I don't know if you can really say that's much tomato in it, but I love tomato sauce. And I think if you boil down a tomato, like I'll eat it on a pizza and I'll eat it in pasta dishes. But I think the more tomato it looks, the less likely I'm to eat it.
Well, I have an aversion to fruits, really.
All
in
fruits.
General. Yeah. Mm. And it's so weird. I will eat vegetables, totally fine. But I think it's similar things like seeing people or having done it myself as a child bite into fruits and it tasting a bit off or it having like a bug in it or, you know, all of those types of things that just I was like, ugh, can't do it, which is really weird because as a baby, I like absolutely loved fruits. But there's even like smells of fruits that like I cannot handle the smell of mandarins because it's so strong. So, yeah, fruits are definitely one that I don't really go towards. I will eat berries though.
With the fruits, like I'm just thinking, let's use an apple. And it's an actual apple, not a tomato this time. Aversion to them, if you taste them, what does the taste bring up?
I just feel really, well, I probably wouldn't taste it, to be honest. Like I would go out and, although I did go through a phase where I really liked apple cider. So it's kind of like I don't like it in its pure form.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be processed in some way so that I know that there's no bugs and it's kind of like, I don't know, clean in a sense. Because I think what I find hard from things that are like from nature is that someone hasn't gone through and done a quality check on it.
But you don't, do you feel the same way about vegetables?
Well, because vegetables I'm often cooking.
Right.
And so I feel like that, you know, process of slicing and dicing and putting in a stir fry or a curry or roasting it.
It purifies it.
It purifies it. It takes away the germs. I think I'm actually quite a germaphobe. And I just kind of sometimes am worried things have got like dirt or bugs on them when they probably don't, but that's like a pretty big food ick for me.
Are there any other, I'm trying to think besides fruits and vegetables, are there any other foods that you'd eat raw? How do you go with like nuts?
Nuts I'm fine with, but again, it's like the pre-packaged nuts. I wouldn't be really doing pistachios and unshelling them and eating them. Yeah.
Okay, raw foods. I get it. I think for me, I'm the opposite where I love fruits. Most fruits I'll eat, but vegetables I'm a little bit weirder about.
Really? Why is that?
That's a great question. And I think it's a palate thing. Like fruits and vegetables obviously taste very different. And maybe I'm just more attracted to the sweetness of fruits. Like capsicum, for example. I actually really like the smell of capsicum. And I really like the smell of celery, but when I eat them, I'm like, ew, yucky.
It's so interesting because I find capsicum quite sweet. I find celery doesn't taste of anything. When Scott and I started cooking together, because the Australian way of preparing foods was often to boil them, and you'd have boiled peas or like steamed broccoli, and it had no flavor to it. Once I introduced him to curry and seasoning and all of those, I'm like, I would never have vegetables unseasoned. And that made the huge difference, I
Are
think.
there any foods that growing up you really disliked but now you love?
I think one thing I've always loved, which surprises people, is Brussels sprouts, but that's because my mum used to make it with like this incredible cheese sauce on top of it. So my palate for Brussels sprouts, because a lot of kids don't like it because it's quite bitter, I really liked it all the way through growing up. I'm trying to think. One thing that has changed for me is I used to be a really slow eater, and my mum and dad, you gave me the nickname Grain by Grain because they thought I was eating pieces of rice grain by grain. That has obviously changed. I've become a much faster eater, but I don't know if there was anything from childhood that I didn't like because I did eat quite a lot of variety of foods growing up. Was there anything from yours?
Just to go to the quick and slow eater, I was such a quick eater growing up
Really?
that I would give myself stomach aches. And
Do you
I,
know why you were a quick eater?
good question. Probably like just an anxious disposition of just, I want to get this done. Let's go. I've got things to do. And I remember going to a doctor about it, and they actually said to me that when you start eating, you have to look at the time and you have to eat really slowly for the first 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, you can go to like a more quicker pace just to make sure that I didn't give myself a stomach ache from swallowing everything whole, basically.
Because I know for some people that I'm friends with or are in my social circle, and they grew up in large families, they were quick eaters to make sure they got food because they were competing with their siblings.
I was very fortunate that everyone was served prior to food, like dinner beginning, so there was always enough food. But yeah, I don't know. I think maybe, foods are not, I guess, a passion of mine. So as a result, I'm probably less likely to be curious about things. I'm less likely to be like really savoring and enjoying food.
Yeah.
But sorry, going back to your other question, I growing up did not eat seafood much.
Oh.
I enjoyed fish fingers
Yeah.
and maybe some form of fish, but everything else was pretty much sushi, definitely not. Was not eating
Prawns.
sushi, prawns, no. I think I had my first prawn when I was like in my teens.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe I'd eaten a bit of lobster because like I was told that was like, well, that was like a big deal, like when there's a bit of lobster to eat. But everything else, and again, sushi, not something that I ate much growing up. But then as soon as like I kind of hit uni, I was like eating sushi like every day.
Really? I mean, it is one of the things available on campus a lot.
So sushi and seafood, I'm not sure if necessarily, I mean, I don't really know if I ate much of it, so I can say that it's a thing that my taste or like the pat my palate changed, but I think whatever it was that was preventing me from eating it, maybe it was the idea of it being raw as well.
Yeah.
Now I eat it basically every day.
Wow. That is quite the change. I am. Going back to your comment, quite the foodie now. But when I was in my 20s and I couldn't really afford food that much, when we were just starting out as a married couple or when I was studying, and I remember when I was first working, I just was like, I wish there was a pill you could just take that would give you all the nutrition that you needed and you wouldn't actually have to stop to eat, buy things to eat. I just found the whole thing overwhelming and annoying.
I've felt the same way growing up as a kid. I loved and still love Garfield comics.
Yeah.
And when he was being a little bit of a cheeky boy, that was when I was like, oh, this is so funny. But then anytime there would be like a food that's a central part of his character, whenever it was things like I live to eat, and it was about him eating all these foods and looking really yum, I was like, oh, okay. Don't
You weren't that
really.
interested in that.
No.
Did
And I
it turn
remember
you off?
it didn't, but I remember going to school. And again, I'm like 10 when I'm doing this, going to school and talking to my like teacher and being like, "Hey, do you," like being really confused by it, being like, "Do you live to eat or eat to live?" And I was like, "Because I eat to live." And she was like, "Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. As long as you're eating."
That's true. So, do you still think you eat to live, or has it started to change?
I definitely think that, for a budget thing, obviously, cooking a lot of foods myself, being able to kind of appreciate food a little bit more because I'm a little bit more flexible in what I'm eating. I'm definitely appreciating food a little bit more. Like when I eat something, I'm not just in the mind of this is fuel, which I think I probably was growing up. But at the same time, I wouldn't say that I'm like a connoisseur of foods or that if you took me to different restaurants, I couldn't necessarily tell you the difference between what's good or bad. But I think I've got a much better idea of what I like and what I don't like eating, which I think is really important because that will really dictate what, like how much you enjoy food, as long as it's not just like junk food every day, obviously. But I think that's made a big difference.
It's really interesting because I do like to eat out, but I do also like to eat things I've prepared. I'm not the world's best cook. And I think that's also to do with the fact that I have a few different food intolerances and issues with things that I eat. And so there are like particular meals that I love, and then I cook them a lot, and then I get really sick of them and can never eat them again. And so I remember one time when we were living with some housemates, Scott and I. So there was like four of us living in this house, and he had made like this massive pot of vegetarian Jalfrezi curry, which is an Indian dish, and it's delicious. But we were eating it for like 3 or 4 days after that, and none of us, as the girls, so there's three girls and Scott, can stomach it now.
Well, to this day.
Yeah, and that would have been when I was, I don't know, 23 or so. Have not eaten
Whoa.
it since. That was like 20 years ago.
That's wild.
I know. Scott is still very sad about it because he's like, it's such a good dish, guys. We should redo it. I was like, no, can't do it.
You think if you ate it now, it would the love of it would come back, or do you think all of the memories will come back?
I probably could eat it now. It's just coming back to your thing is it something you want to eat or that you have to eat? And I think as an adult now, I'm more geared towards what do I want to eat. And I often will start the day going, oh, I feel like eating this today, which is why I'm food obsessed, which was very different to what I was like when I was in my 20s, compared to, oh, I have to eat this. And because I have much more control of my food environment, I have much greater say in it.
Do you think that you mentioned before those intolerances, do you think that impacted your relationship with food?
100%. And I think I've had foods that I have eaten and then been very unwell with afterwards that I have not been able to reintroduce into my diet. Which is funny that I said that blueberries and berries I still eat as fruit because earlier this year I had like a really strong, I don't think I'm allergic to blueberries, but I had a strong food poisoning gastro event following eating blueberries for 2 weeks. But that hasn't actually put me off them.
Wow. Are there foods that has happened, like you just mentioned with the dish before? Are there any other foods that you had a bad experience with and just have not gone back to?
So really sadly, and this was a traumatic story, there is a lasagna restaurant in Melbourne which have the best lasagnas, and they have a beef wagyu lasagna which they can make
Oh.
gluten-free. It is delicious. I ate leftovers of that, so probably my fault. Maybe I didn't warm it up enough. And we were driving back from Venice Bay and we had to pull over the side of the road and I threw it all up. And I've not been able to eat it since. We might have to put a trigger warning on this episode. Bodily functions are discussed.
Lasagna in general, or just that one?
I haven't eaten lasagna since,
Wow.
but I won. Oh, I don't know. Because a beef lasagna is like the pinnacle, right? I probably could eat a vegetarian lasagna, but I probably wouldn't love it as much as a beef lasagna. Have you thrown up or like had a food reaction to something and not gone back to eat
My poor grandma, she's great. Like, I'm really throwing her under the bus today, but. And this is a testament to her because she would hand make burgers for us, which
it?
is really lovely, right? Get the mince, create it herself, fry it up. Great. One time we went over and had those burgers, and my poor grandma, because it was probably just, a really tragic circumstance, but basically I bit into my burger and there was a fly in it.
Oh
A fly had probably just, like, when she wasn't looking, flown onto, like, the big bowl of mince that she had, and she just accidentally had it in. Anyways, it doesn't matter how it got there. And that, I think that put me off her food for a while,
yeah.
which I feel, as a kid, you can't console for that. That's just how it is. But I think considering in my family, what's the word? A love, is it love language? That's it.
Yeah.
Love language, service to others, cooking, particularly for a grandma. Cooking is their display of love, and there's a lot of pride in cooking good food. So when I was refusing to eat their food, and definitely not their burgers, I think that caused a little bit of tension in the family. But yeah, those just things happen, right?
Yeah,
I don't
they
think
do.
I got actually sick from it, but I just remember being like, whoa, uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what the food ics are. They're sometimes not always explainable. Like they're not always rational. They're just
Yeah.
a thing that has formed you somehow. One of my biggest challenges is that I used to work in the deli for 4 years. And as part of working in the deli, we also had to do obviously food handling. But there are definitely things that as an adult, I wouldn't eat from the deli. I would buy it as pre-packaged foods, but I wouldn't like get it from the deli. But the other thing is, because I did food handling, sometimes when I'm watching other people prepare food and they aren't following the food handling things, then I don't want to eat their food.
Yeah, gotcha. I have a similar story, but the opposite effect,
Yeah.
which is I used to work at an organic grocery store, and we would also do a lot of the produce we had was fruits and veggies. And a massive part of the beginning of your shift is doing that food inspection to make sure that you're not putting out anything gross. And just circumstantially, you just see a lot of fruits that have gone moldy, not because of anyone's fault. And I think that exposure to them was really helpful for me because it, like, just made me feel like, okay, not only can I spot it, but also it's just like a natural thing. Things just go off. And if anything, it's a testament to its, like, freshness that it can go off, right?
Yeah, it is very interesting though, because I do feel like sometimes in those markets, I'm so gonna get in trouble for this. Anyway, like when you go to markets, they're not always air conditioned or temperature controlled. So if you're going on like quite hot days, you can kind of see the fruit, or if you buy fruit and veg from those places, they don't tend to last as long. Whereas in when you're in the superficial, kind of optimized supermarket setting, they are very temperature controlled. Sometimes I have water spraying on them, whatever it is, to keep things fresh for as long as possible. And so I also tend to buy my veggies from the supermarket more than from markets, which is bad because you're meant to, support the local farmers. But it's the storage again for me.
Yeah, I and at the supermarket as well, we had like a list of fruits that had to be in a fridge as well. Like, you'd be picking them
Yeah.
from the fridge for that reason. Yeah, maybe different purposes. Maybe a market, it's like you're buying it to. I mean, I think the concept of a market is like you're buying it fresh so that you can use it within the next 2 days,
Yeah.
basically, right? And then you go back a couple of days later and get more fresh food.
Yeah. 100% that's true, but that's probably not the reality of most people's lives. I don't know, like I
Very
do a
true.
shop once a week and stock up on everything I'll need for meals for that week. Whereas in if I was to do it like how I would like to, if work, and life allowed, I'd probably be going every couple of days to the market and buying what I felt like eating and the ingredients for it fresh, but
That's
not the
very fair.
reality. Well, you know, one thing that I did watch recently on Netflix, they have a documentary on Fit for TV, which is all about The Biggest Loser. And I remember watching The Biggest Loser growing up, and they would have these temptation challenges where they'd have this whole array of like crazy amounts of food that were unhealthy, and watching people gorge on it would I would find quite like icky about. So like sometimes watching things on TV or watching other people eat food can cause a food ick in me.
One more question for you. Foods that you don't like, and I kind of mentioned this before with tomatoes, are the foods that you don't like that when they're hidden in another meal, like it's not just them by themselves, that you will permit and that you will actually enjoy? Like I'm just trying to think for fruits like pies or something like that.
I will eat a fruit pie, mince pie, fruit mince pie. But one thing which we didn't touch on were probably more like if I don't know it's there and I can't conceptualize the animal. So things like ox tongue, for example, or I don't know, tripe or guts or things that, you know, aren't your normal kind of westernized, clean, here's your chicken breast or here's your cut of lamb. If I know about it beforehand, I'm not going to eat it. But if it's hidden in the food, I probably would. You?
I feel similarly. Like there are definitely lots of soups that have certain, like that might have some celery in it or something like that, that I would, and tomato is a big one. Obviously, tomato is the basis of a lot of foods, so I permit it. I just, as you said, I don't think of a tomato. I just, the taste is fine, so that's okay. And I would just pretend like it's not from a tomato, like it's its own different thing.
Yeah. Actually, I have another question. Were there any foods you were denied as a child that you now eat a lot as an adult?
To be honest, I was such a picky eater back in the day. My parents would let me, within reason, there was nothing that was off limits. It was just making sure I ate enough.
Fair, fair, fair. They were probably like, we've just got to make sure this guy gets enough calories today.
Yeah, exactly. So, generally speaking, I was allowed to eat. Obviously, I wasn't eating lots of unhealthy things just because it was the only thing I could eat. If they saw that it was something I liked, then I would, they would make their own spin on it so that it was still kind of healthy. But I know that every week, my grandma, this is my other grandma, she would make me a soup dish that she found out that I liked. I had that for dinner every, like once a week, every week for, I would say, about 20 years.
Wow.
And it's still one of the, my favorite dishes to this day.
Well, actually, I'll come back to that, but I was just going to say we weren't allowed too much junk food growing up. To the point that my mum used to hide chocolate sometimes in the dishwasher because the dishwasher was never used.
Whoa.
I know. And we were only allowed chocolate on a Friday. And I remember just being like, oh. And so I feel like as an adult, I almost am like, I'm having chocolate every day because I can have chocolate every day. You know, like I'm eating chips because I can eat chips. But what is your favorite food if you had to name a dish?
I would say my favorite dish, spaghetti bolognese, is my favorite,
Oh,
but my
yum.
mum's spaghetti bolognese had did have like passata in it, so it had some tomatoey base to it, but that's definitely my mum's spaghetti bolognese or my grandma's. It's called Avo Lemono Supa, which means basically lemon egg soup.
Lemon egg soup. Wow.
Which it's not just lemon and egg, it's got like rice and chicken in it, but
Yum. That sounds delicious.
Your favorite food?
I would say most Sri Lankan curries, like chicken, beef, lamb curries, prawn curries, my comfort food. So often, if I'm not feeling great, that's like my go-to is to have like Sri Lankan curry. But apart from that, I love food now for the most part,
Wow,
so
that's
pretty
beautiful.
happy. Hi everyone, it's Dash. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast, and don't forget to leave a rating and a review. If you've enjoyed our show and like what you're hearing, tell all your friends and family and hit that subscribe button.
If you want to hear our updates and know when episodes drop, follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. And our original music was composed and performed by the amazing Luke Champion.